So this was, I did this. Oh, so there's these sweets. I used to be able to use these as like currency when I was on the cruise ships.
Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer space in a fun and flirty way for women who are just beginning their beer journey or for ladies who already love their brews and are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones. Today, I'm just kind of along for the ride, but I'm your forever gal pal. Now, we had so much fun with my friend from across the pond, Joanne Love, a couple weeks ago on our episode all about the proper way to really experience and sniff and sip on your craft beer, that I decided to invite her back to just infuse a little more kind of technical tasting into our repertoire, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So today's episode is all going to be about food and beer pairings. How do you know what goes together? What are a few ideas that you can get started with? And what Joanne does in her own home. So excited for you to listen to our conversation today. And let's hop to it, shall we? Joanne, I am so excited to welcome you back to the Beer Feelings Podcast. I know on the last episode that we recorded together, we had so much fun and we covered so many topics that, like, I feel like I'm a wealth of information. Maybe my head didn't get bigger, because that sounds like I'm full of ego, but like my brain got a little bit bigger inside my skull. So welcome back to the show. Anyone that wants to learn about your background, I would encourage you, click back a few episodes. Joanne has an amazing story, which, like, fun fact, we both came from costume design in theater, which I just, on previous guests, we either come from costume design or from fitness into beer. So maybe we should do like a study or something.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Maybe we should tap into those industries to try and specifically to get more women into beer. Like, hey, come on over. So that's kind of fun. Well, today on the show, what I would love to talk about is beer and food pairings. I know I love food. I love beer. I love eating them together. I've been a little haphazard in my own pairings. And this is a question that I get a lot of the time. You know, this is what I'm cooking for dinner. What should I serve? And my go-to has always been, what grows together goes together. So if you're drinking a springy beer with a springy dinner with maybe some like fresh fish and some asparagus or something, that's always been my go-to. But much like our last episode, I love that we got a little more technical, a little more specific. Let's talk about beer and food.
Okay.
I've also been to some like beer and cheese pairings, which beer and cheese I love.
So good.
So maybe let's start, like, before we get into some hard and fast rules of like traditional things that are paired together. If someone wanted to go on like a wild child, lead your own adventure, and to kind of host their own beer pairing their own, that's how I've learned about beer. Like, I get a charcuterie board. Is this big in the UK right now? Like charcuterie companies? Yeah.
I don't know about charcuterie companies, but definitely like at tap rooms and things. Mm-hmm. Yes, a big beer snack.
Oh my gosh.
Well, charcuterie board with your beer flight.
When it happens.
When? Yeah.
I'll know, because I can order charcuterie whenever I want and I won't have to worry about how much it costs. Because that, it can get a little spendy, but
right.
What's going on here in America? Since the initial quarantine happened, there's a bunch of little, like, from home businesses that are building these little charcuterie boxes. They're anywhere from $40 to $50. They get delivered to you. They're enough. Well, they say they're enough for two people. It's enough for me for a heavy dinner. But they'll fold up little salamis and little prosciuttos and cheese and stuff. So for me, when I've been exploring and just kind of pushing my beer limits, I typically will buy like a couple of beers in the single section at the liquor store, open up one of these charcuterie boxes, and just kind of play around. So that's how I've learned about it. So if someone was hoping to do something similar at home, and maybe they don't have one of these fabulous charcuterie businesses, what would you recommend they pick up at the grocery store just to like play with?
I think with beer and food pairing, definitely I have built my skills in beer and food pairing this last kind of year, because I'm quite a picky eater. I say that and I love blue cheese, but like, there's a difference between what someone says you should mm-hmm. be pairing together and what you think is delicious. So sure. keep that in your mind at all times. Like there's some basic rules that you mm-hmm. can play with, but a really good way of just testing it out is, as you say, grab a bunch of stuff, grab a bunch of beers that you really like and just try it together. I've got a beer and cheese pairing article on my blog at lovebeerlearning.co.uk. And I did that with you can do research and you can, mm-hmm. you know, there's some really good books.
Research is boring though. Let's eat, let's drink, let's mm-hmm. go. So that's...
Yeah. So I got some of my favorite cheeses. So I got... My favorite cheese is Wensleydale and cranberry. So it's like a white... I don't know if you have that. If you have Mm-mm. Wensleydale in the US, this is where I'm going to have to start like explaining what they are.
We're just going to... If you guys are confused, I'll put some links in the show notes. Yes. And that's just where we're going to rely. It's going to be okay.
So Wensleydale is quite... It's a white, creamy cheese. It's kind of, it's not hard, but it's not like soft and creamy.
Is it like Gouda?
No. It's a bit more tangy.
Okay.
So it's definitely, it's like a, like, oh, when I say white, like, I mean, it's almost okay. white.
Is it
color.
Like goat cheese? Like that kind
not
of tangy?
Not quite as, yeah, not quite as soft. Okay. But like that with cranberries, sometimes you can get it with blueberries. Like there's a really good one at Christmas that comes out with blueberries in it. It's a really good, though it's quite a mild flavour of cheese, so it goes mm-hmm. really well with, like, you can put other stuff in it. Cool. There's a really good one I get every Christmas that's got, and it's got champagne, white chocolate, and raspberries in it.
Oh, amazing. My gosh.
That's an amazing cheese.
Forget Vermont. I'm moving to England.
That's like, it only comes out at Christmas from this one particular supermarket. I go and get myself, like, a little round, and it's in the lovely wax and stuff. Oh, now, that would go really well with something light and spritzy, like a Saison mm-hmm. or a Berliner Weiss, which is a bit champagne-y because it's got champagne flavours in it.
That makes sense.
And because it's quite a creamy cheese, mm-hmm. that carbonation in those beers and the acidity is going to cut through that creaminess. So you want to think about that balance of intensity of flavour and, you know, if something's really creamy, you don't mm-hmm. necessarily want something heavy. But I say sure. that, and then, you know, a really good blue cheese, like a creamy blue cheese, would go really well with an imperial stout, just like a decadent.
Mm. I don't even like blue cheese. The accent makes everything sound good, though.
Love blue cheese.
I'm going to order grocery delivery. And just be like, clear out the cheese section. So all right.
Hungry.
Before we dive into kind of mm-hmm. more like traditional rules. So if someone was going to the store, I mean, what I do, the grocery stores here, and maybe they have this in the UK as well, they have like, I can't call it the reject bin because that's like really sad. But like when you go to the fancy cheese counter, like you're not getting pre-shredded cheese. And do you guys have American cheese in England?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it gross there too?
Like Kraft singles.
Like Kraft singles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they call it American cheese?
We tend to call it plastic cheese.
Okay, great, great. Which honestly, there's a lot of plastic in America too. But yeah, so so avoid the American cheese section. Go to like the cheesemonger or just where like they normally have like an olive bar nearby here. So I go to that section and there's this small little baby bin that says $5 and under. And that's where they take the ugly cuts of cheese. Like maybe it's not a perfect wedge. It's a little cube. So that's where I go. And I just let the universe be like, Nat, you want some balsamic cheese? Like, cool. It's meant to be. It's right here. So that's where I would go. Okay, cheese and beer, definitely fun to play around with the pairing. If someone's already at the grocery store, what else should they pick up? Like, should they pick up fruits and vegetables? Like, I mean, in the last episode, we talked a little bit about saltines, or there's a British version, but like plain sick crackers is kind of what I think. Like, crackers, good to just cleanse your palate, but cheese, I've heard that grapes are awful with beer, so maybe avoid that. But like, would you grab berries and melon, or maybe just like see what looks good and go wild?
Yeah, you could probably do berries because that would go, you know, to be matchy-matchy, you could have it with a fruit beer. Mm-hmm. You could go with something that's got a bit more fruity esters in it. Mm-hmm. You know, like a Belgian beer where the yeast gives you fruitiness and it's going to give you a bit of spiciness. That with mm-hmm. some berries would be nice. Or some berries with a chocolate stout. So it's a bit like
that's
a dessert.
What I like. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Okay. So pick up some berries, pick up some cheese, get some crackers to cleanse your palate. Would you recommend, like, when starting to explore beer? I mean, I guess there's a couple different ways to think about like beer and food pairing. You can think kind of like hors d'oeuvres, appetizers, or you can think like pairing beers with the meal. So, I mean, I'm also just relying on like my go-to charcuterie board. What they normally have, couple berries. They always have kiwi, which I've been thrilled with kiwi and beer. Specifically like a Pilsner, really good.
I was gonna say something it really light.
Makes Pilsners very exciting, which I normally don't get excited. So okay. If you're doing the at-home beer tasting and you don't want to listen any further in this episode, well, number one, knock it off. Keep listening to this episode. Number two, go to the cheap beer section. Not cheap beer. No. Cheese section. Cheese. Grab some cheeses. Like, just explore. Don't grab grapes, but grab a few fruits. All right. So we covered all of our self-explorers. Now let's get into a couple of rules. I know there's a few, like blue cheese goes very well with barley wine. Like, like a strong cheese can stand up to a strong beer. Can you talk about intensity. A few of just like maybe three really simple beer pairings that maybe someone listening could use as like their pillars or their foundations and then kind of explore from there?
Yeah. So like, as you say, barley wine with blue cheese or an imperial stout. I found that anything with a little bit of coffee in it doesn't go so well with blue cheese.
Okay.
You want more of that chocolate because you want like the sweetness. And that's why barley wine works really well because it's got a lot of sweetness to it. Mm-hmm. With the saltiness of the beer, of the blue cheese. So you've got that sweet and salty. Another one that I really enjoy is like a vintage cheddar, like the proper vintage cheddar with like the salty crystals in. You then want to go with something like a Best Bitter or maybe an amber ale, because those caramel notes from that are going to go with that saltiness and you're going to get like a salted caramel kind of flavor with those two.
This is getting longer.
So that also gets together with thinking about, so a vintage cheddar, that's quite an English kind of cheese, and like a Best Bitter is a very English kind of beer. So as well as your kind of sweet and savory matching of flavors, you can also kind of match food to where the food's from with where the beer's from, because often they've been made in similar areas, so they're going to match up. Like a Belgian ale, the Trappist ones, often the Trappist breweries will also make cheeses. So that cheese goes with the beer. And
Gosh, I'm such an American. You said Belgian and I was like, Belgian food, Belgian waffles.
I mean, that's sweet. So I would probably go, you know what, that would go really well with, I mean, you could have a, like maybe a triple, because you've got a little bit of spiciness. So that spiciness will go like with the cinnamon or the sweetness the waffle. And because it's a little bit going to be a little bit greasy, maybe it's got a bit more fat to it, the carbonation in the triple is going to cut through that fat. So that would work really well there.
Oh my gosh. Boyfriend is a big fan of triple. That's this last homebrew, which I know you and I personally have talked about a little bit.
Yep.
It was a little bit of a dumpster fire, but he really wanted to build a triple. And I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe let's...
That's a lot of malt.
So we went for our goal ABV, I think, is 4.6, not like 10.6. So maybe this next triple. But I know in the past, when we're getting back to like beer feelings, like Natalie's talking about colors and textures, how I've kind of thought about flavors, which it sounds like you're echoing everything in a much more technical way, which makes me feel really good about how I've taught. But I almost think about like the color wheel, right? So yep. when you're mixing paint together, like in kindergarten, or you're blending watercolors, if you want a red that's less vibrant, and this goes back to our costume design roots. Yep. If you want a red that's less vibrant, you just add something across the color wheel. So you add green to it and it becomes a little more muted. It doesn't turn it brown right away, but you can really play with those levels. So, I mean, it sounds like that's kind of what pairing is all about. Like, let's not get offensive here. Let's not add like, I don't know, like neon green and Christmas red. Like that right. would be a little bit too aggressive, but like staying within the same universe. Yes. If something is a little too sweet, adding something a little more bitter to it will help to balance it out. Or yes. if it's too salty, sweet. I love that you said that fatty and like effervescent or like bubbly balance each other out. And that's where I think like, fancy wine and cheese. Like I think of New Year's is what I think of. Like somebody's going to make a brie wheel, which I can't wait. And then somebody's going to drink some champagne. So I really love those. Would you ever double down on a flavor? Like, let's say, for example, if it was a flavor that you really love, maybe you love dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. Would you pair a dark chocolate with like a roasted chocolate stout or a roasted coffee stout to go there? Or, I mean, my personal thoughts.
I mean, you can do, but I've
done it if I love it. Like if it's my favorite flavor, I find it to be a little boring personally.
Yeah. Because you can, like, you kind of take, you know, you've eaten that chocolate. You're then kind of, you've got that chocolate flavor in your mouth already and you put more on it. It's not enhancing it in any way. Like it's the easy way of doing it. It's like, oh, it's matching, these two go together. But it sometimes it doesn't. You want it to enhance and to create something interesting. So sometimes having two different things, you know, the one that always gets me and I have found has worked is a New England IPA with a chocolate chip cookie. Like I would never have
thought. What?
Right. Someone told me, they were just like, oh, chocolate chip cookies and New England IPA. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? But because your New England IPA is kind of juicy and has got kind of that, you want one that's kind of citrusy rather than tropical.
Mm-hmm.
But that citrusiness with the chocolate, it's kind of like chocolate orange. So you get the two and it kind of works.
Again, we're feverishly writing down things to add to my shopping list. That's so interesting. Well, and I think from a beer feeling standpoint, from just the company, I think we've started this line of salts and sugars that are both infused with beer because we love to put beer in everything, but really meant to throw on the edge of your glass kind of in lieu of a pairing to help you adjust your beer flavor. And I've really struggled with IPAs. Like, what do I put on an IPA? Because like salt on an IPA I tried last night, just like for the sake of trying, bad. Yeah. Like it just tasted like trash. Citrus is like, I mean, I need a better vehicle for it is what I need to like throw on the rim. But IPAs have always been tricky. So cookies.
Yeah. Cookies. Mm-hmm. My way. Maybe some cocoa powder.
Okay. Well, this is providing more homework than I think I expected. But just to kind of go back a little bit, I really liked what you said about like, there's nothing wrong in pairing a raspberry sour with a raspberry jam, like let's just say, or a raspberry sour with a raspberry tart, raspberry cookie, like putting them together. There's nothing offensive about that, but it's just a little boring and we think you can do a little better. So I'm liking the like, think about opposite sides of the color wheel. Think about opposite sides. Okay, if we wanted to give people a few tips as far as meal planning, then if we kind of moved along, I know for the holidays, you had suggested a few like beer lineups, like at the beginning of the meal, you would go with this, at the middle of the meal, go with this, and then wrap up with this. Can you give us an example of one of those? Because not everybody is following your TikTok, which low-key, like shameless plug, you should absolutely be listening to the Love Beer Learning or watching the Love Beer Learning TikToks. Get on TikTok. It's not just teenagers.
You're not
anymore.
Too old. Yeah. I got recognized at a beer festival because of TikTok the other week. And I was like, what just happened?
Oh my gosh. I love, I mean,
that was weird.
Love. Cannot rave about your TikTok enough. It's probably the only TikTok that I religiously follow.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
But talk to me a little bit for those individuals who are not on TikTok yet. Can you walk through like what were the three beers that you talked about and why you chose each of those? Just so if someone was planning like their own dinner, how can they kind of think about a beer and food pairing?
So I started off that TikTok with a pale ale for while you were cooking, because I like something just nice and simple while I'm cooking. It was actually the one that I picked was actually called Christmas Day. And it was from a tiny brewery over here called Epochal, who are Scottish. And he's a one-man band. And he is trying to create old Scottish recipes. But he sticks a bit of Brettanomyces in there and something interesting. Oh, this beer was amazing.
Oh, that's so
I
cool.
I didn't drink it while I was cooking. I'm glad, but I had it in the evening because it was beautiful to just sit and sip away on, because it was complex. So I don't suggest that you have something complex while you're cooking. You just want something nice and simple. It's going to get you through. For the dinner, I chose a cherry and cranberry sour to go with our roast turkey dinner. Obvious reasons. Yeah. We know that cranberry goes with turkey. So another way that you compare things is thinking about other flavors that you are going to put on that plate already. I did drink that with my Christmas dinner. And actually, I then had a dark chocolate mousse for dessert, and that cranberry and cherry sour went really well with the chocolate mousse. Because if you think about a decadent chocolate dessert, that acidity and fruitiness from that beer goes really well with dark chocolate.
And everybody already knows about like chocolate and berry anything.
Yeah, chocolate and fruit anything
is great. This is like the perfect case study.
Right?
How do we apply these concepts?
Just like this.
Oh my gosh. And then what did you wrap up with?
So I then had, for pudding, I had two choices for dessert. I had a milk stout. I can't remember whether I picked out the gingerbread one. May have been the gingerbread one to go with. So like Christmas pudding. Mm-hmm. It's quite spicy already. So then to have like the kind of chocolatey, creamy milk stout with a bit of spice in it as well. That could go quite well with your Christmas pudding. If you're not a sweet pudding person and instead you're a cheese person, I'm going to go back to my blue cheese. but I picked Duchess de Bourgogne, which is a Flanders red ale. Now that goes so well with blue cheese and would go really well with other cheeses, and because it's got like balsamic vinegar notes to it. Mm. So it would go really well with various different dishes that you would put kind of balsamic vinegar with.
Yeah. Okay. I have about seven things to say in response to all of this. Number one, I seldom see cheese as a dessert here in America, but when we've gone on cruises in the past, my family is a big cruise family. That's going to have to be a separate episode, but we like to vacation on cruises, partially because it's an affordable way for me to get fancy food and still like everybody kind of gets to do their own thing. So separate episode for cruising, but there's always an option on the menu of like a fruit and cheese plate. And normally I scoff at it because I'm like, who's going to want cheese when you can eat this like cheesecake or like chocolate tort or like pie or whatever?
I mean, I'm with you, but...
But also... Now that I'm getting older, like I think this is an age thing. I think I like cheese more than I like sweet. Like I enjoy like funky, salty appetizer flavors more than the dessert. This next cruise, which my family's not quite ready to go on a cruise just yet with the pandemic, but we're really close. I think this next time I'm going to get a cheese plate. So, okay. So that was my first thought. Americans need to eat more cheese for dessert. My second thought is I think it is so lovely that every piece of this meal, like, okay, big takeaways that I kind of got from this, rely on combinations that you know are already good, kind of like working across the aisle with each other. So I'm thinking like berries and chocolate, peanut butter and chocolate, like salty pretzel and chocolate, everything matches with chocolate. Again, I'm letting my American show like, everything's good with chocolate.
I made myself a peanut butter sandwich the other night while I was drinking a chocolate stout. It was delicious.
Oh my God. But okay, like let's go even more American, like peanut butter and jelly. If you were eating maybe like some slurpy peanut noodles, like maybe you made like a cool Thai stir fry or something, that'd be really cool with a raspberry sour. Like let's rely on our roots. I think that's a great tip. I think the second tip is think about what else is already in the meal. Like maybe there's a little baby flavor when you were talking about, like, maybe you're making dessert with an orange liqueur. Maybe that's a subtle flavor in the dessert. Pull it out with a beer and really showcase it.
Yep.
And number three, of course, which I think has been the theme of this whole show, like opposites attract. Don't be boring. Look on the other side of the aisle, sweet and salty, bubbly and fatty, like rich and bright. I think, oh my gosh, Joanne, I'm going to be so poor after this episode. I'm going to buy about 50 beers and I'm going to go to the fancy cheese section.
Join the club. Congratulations. You're with us now. Oh, you're one of us now.
Once you start really going into like the deep, dark world of, it's not dark. It's like glitter and rainbows and like wonderful, but you're poor all the time. Cause all you do is think about like, oh, that's a special edition. I got to get that. Oh my gosh. Well, let's wrap up this episode. We've talked about a lot of different flavor ideas, just in your personal experience, whether it's cheese or fruit or more like recipes. Could you give us three more ideas on a beer or a beer style that you would pair with like something to nibble on?
So I'm going to do a recipe here. Love. I really enjoy like a beer that's got lime in it with like in a fajita or an enchilada recipe, because you can pop that in, like instead of adding your lime juice, you're adding a lime beer. Love. Really good in like pork carnitas. Really good.
Yeah. And then just sip it alongside, just like some for the recipe, some for me.
You've got the rest while you're finishing it off, and that the sharpness from the lime is going to cut through any cheese that you've got in there. Amazing. What else do I really like? Oh, so I did some beer and candy pairings. I'll be American. I won't be English and say sweets. So we've got, I don't know what you call your chewy sweets over there. Like they're not chocolate. They're kind of foamy. What do you call those
like
over there?
Like bonbons? Or like caramels?
No.
What's like inside fruit of them?
They're just like fruit, foamy fruit things. Do you have those? Do you
foamy
have
those? Fruit?
Like, I mean, like gummy bears.
Oh.
Like a gummy bear.
They're chewy like that?
Yeah, like chewy.
But they're covered in chocolate?
No. They're just.
Oh, I'm stuck in chocolate.
Yeah, you've chocolate. So this was, I did this. Oh, so there's these sweets. I used to be able to use these as like currency when I was on the cruise ships. They're called Percy Pigs. And they're from a particular shop here in the UK called Marks and Spencer's. And it's like a fruit juice based fruit, but it's kind
just
of a
gummies.
Sweet. Yeah, like gummies. So like a chewy something like that. I did that with a rhubarb Hefeweizen. So the spritziness of the Hefeweizen, but the clove and the banana flavors went really well with the fruity flavor of the gummy sweet. So that was amazing.
Well, that's what I'm doing this summer.
Right. Okay. another one with Weiss beer is like a lemon cake, because then you've got like the orange lemon and the banana, like, or with a wit beer, like a Belgian wit beer, which you get more orange from, that with like a lemon cake. And then you've got like the orange lemon flavors.
Love.
Delicious.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I think I need to cut you off because I'm number one, going to gain a lot of weight. Number two, going to run out of money. So many cool ideas. I'm excited personally that we're doing this because now I have a bunch of things to try, but oh my gosh. So everyone listening, I invite you, go out and try one thing. This is kind of what the assignment we gave people last time, right? Like you don't need to try all the pairings. If one of these things sounded exciting to you, try one. And then we're going to give them a harder assignment this time because the assignment last time was pretty easy. Take a picture of it and send it to both of us. So send it to @BeerFeelings and also @LoveBeerLearning. And then Joanne and I will be like, okay, yeah, we love that. And we'll love shout at you. And it's just going to be great. Oh my gosh. My brain is just in like too many places.
Just wait,
I want to go to the grocery store. I want to go talk about cheese. I want to
go grab your favorite beer and go grab some of your favorite snacks and just sit and try them with your favorite beers and see if it works for you.
Love.
That's a great way of doing it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is how I'm spending my afternoon. Again, the time change is making it a little bit early to go to bed for me. And we're going to write out this beer. But if people are having as much fun as I am with you on this show, what is the best way for them to get in contact with you, for them to keep going on this journey? And like, how else can they work with you or just like become your best friend?
So I mostly hang out on Instagram. I'm Love Beer Learning over there. I'm also on TikTok, as we said.
And it's cool. Yeah. Go follow her TikTok.
Love Beer Learning. I do silly little videos and informative videos as well. I also have a website, which is lovebeerlearning.co.uk. You can find all of my services and classes on there. I have a beer tasting course called Build Your Beer Vocabulary. We're revamping that for 2022. So if you want to join that, if it's not up yet when this comes out, come and join the wait list. You'll be one of the first people to join in. Or if you're already like, yes, I want to hang out with you every month. You can come join me.
That's what I want.
And the rest of my little friends that I've got in my beer membership, which is called the Beer Tent Society, we look at a different beer style every month. So I will give you the history and the style guidelines for that beer. And then we will get together on a live tasting and we will taste the beers together. We'll taste like, you know, 2, 3, 4, depending on what style it is of the beer. We did doubles the other in December. I did 4 different doubles.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Doubles for those of you that don't know, that just anytime you hear a multiple, it just means one booze.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
I was gonna do 3. I had 4. So the class was like, just do all 4. So
that sounds like a glorious day.
It's great. It's great. We all sit there, we all get different ones. We chat about what we're tasting in them, whether they fit in the style, whether we like them.
It's okay if people join internationally, correct?
Yep, absolutely. Because the tasting is usually at 7:30 PM or English time on Friday, on the third Friday of the month. On Friday.
Perfect.
But if you can't join live, then the replay is up for you to watch back and taste, and you can ask me any questions. We do it in a Facebook group, so you can contact me at any time. But yeah, it's super fun. We just, you know, drink beer together, and what's not great about that?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well, take all my dollars, but especially to those of you who have been listening to the Beer Feelings podcast, you feel like you have your feet underneath you. It's getting easier to express what you like and you don't like. If you're looking for a more technical approach, 100%, I would recommend go check out Love Beer Learning. That's where I've learned a lot of my technical knowledge. Yeah. And it's just like, it's a cool female friendly, inclusive space. It's going to have this same, like, no spooky vibe. And it's amazing. So definitely go check out Joanne. This, oh my gosh. Like I said, my grocery list is very full and my bank account is about to be very empty.
So empty.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, for the second time, thank you so, so much for coming on this show, for giving me a little bit of like, international exposure. Look at us. It's a worldwide show now at this point. So I can't wait to have you on for another episode here in the future. But for everybody listening out there, I sincerely hope that no matter what you are doing today, hopefully you're running to the grocery store in the next like 5 minutes to buy some like cheese and fruit. Just go like scroll back 30 seconds, maybe 5 minutes, and then make your grocery list, go to the grocery store. But no matter what you are doing, I hope you guys are doing it with a great beer in your hand and even better people by your side. Cheers, Joanne. I will see you next time.